Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Coming up, we're going to talk with Jeff Santel from Dog Nation. Tomorrow's a big day for the dogs. It's already been a big year when you talk about the early signing period. They've got 6 5-stars signed, 12 4-star signed, 4 3-stars signed, Mike. And we're talking about, you know, the rating system for high school players coming out. And, you know, when you start talking about having that many 5-star guys, it's already impressive. They're going to have a top class regardless. But if they get maybe one more 5-star tomorrow, Mike, they could easily have the number one class in the country.
Yeah, I mean, depends on who you're talking to, rivals. Everybody's got them ranked right now. But, you know, Georgia is number one for a number of classes, Ohio State, Alabama. You just mentioned the team's trying to rally. Let's talk to our man who knows what's going down, because as we all know, Carl, the price of a piece of a national championship is eternal vigilance on the recruiting trail. Jeff Santel from Dog Nation and the AJC joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Is it anticlimactic, Jeff, because there were so many big dogs, pardon the pun, who did sign in the early period?
Yeah, guys, and hey, hope you guys are doing well. It kind of is like you go to a great steakhouse, man, and they said, okay, all you're getting is the appetizer on the menu. Everything else is kind of closed down because, really, Georgia normally, you know, gets the hoorahs of about 24, 25 guys on National Signing Day, but you know, that, secrets are already out. I mean, they've already signed away 20 of them. At the most, they're going to sign up 5 guys tomorrow, but much in the same vein as the early signing period, this is going to be another gargantuan class. I mean, I heard you guys in the show open earlier. It's almost like you're going to be pretty impressive. Georgia, if they do land one more 5-star tomorrow, that will make 7. That's never happened before, especially in the modern era of recruiting going all the way back to 2000. You know, Rivals.com actually has Georgia with 7 potentially going to 8, but there's a industry standard called the 24/7 Sports Composite. Uh-huh. We currently give Georgia 6 5-stars, and if they add the 5-star corner, Tyson Campbell, on Wednesday, then that would be 7. And guys, there's been some 3-year blocks where Georgia didn't sign 7 5-stars in a span.
Jeff Santel, our guest on the WadeFord.com hotline. You know, I've heard some things where Georgia, and specifically Kirby Smart, has maybe looked ahead to next year's class, or even, you know, 2020, trying to get ahead of the game because they feel so good about this class. What are you hearing there? I mean, getting the jump on those guys that are currently still in high school, but knowing that you need to be on those kids.
Yeah, it certainly seems like Kirby Smart, when it comes to recruiting, is that guy that's already acing this week's test.
Right.
But he's also read ahead for 2 more chapters. He's got everything going on there. And this is a big step, because one thing Georgia has been able to do by signing away those 20 guys is that's the way Urban Meyer used to do that. Urban Meyer was never the guy at Ohio State, as he racked up class after class, that was working on his upcoming class in January. They were already looking forward to the next year and the next year after that. And that's allowed Georgia, I think he's allowed Georgia to expand its reach nationally, especially when they can point to what the team did on the field this year. Georgia's a pretty powerful brand right now, considering what's coming and then what's already there. And you think about that for a second. Alabama has the last 7 recruiting national championships, mythical national championships, of course.
Right.
And they're not going to get one this year. It's probably going to be because of Georgia. Georgia guys actually had 6 5-stars, those 6 5-stars right now, and the rest of the SEC has a total of 2. And all the great players in this class are going to Georgia. And when you look at it, this would be the 3rd class now where Georgia has been top 6. That's Kirby's first year. Top 3, second year. And then by and large, he's either going to be 2 or 1 in 2018. And the news just kind of keeps getting better. Next year's class is already rated number 1 for 2019. Mm. And the Bulldogs already have 3 5-stars committed for 2019.
It is our man, Jeff Santel from the AJC, Dog Nation, breaking it down. As we said, signing day part deux tomorrow here. Now, here's a question, though. How quickly and how good will the defense be as they plug in guys to replace Lorenzo Carter and Bellamy and, well, Roquan Smith, obviously? Parrish and Sanders. He's over there. Stop him. I'm sorry. I'm still upset about the championship game. What about the defense? How quickly and what should Georgia fans expect from this defense in 18?
Well, I tell you, the Wolfpack, you saw Bellamy humble yourself and on his way to the NFL, now selling T-shirts. And then you see Lorenzo Carter as well. It's created a lot of opportunity for Georgia. What they've done, look at what they're chasing tomorrow. They've already signed the nation's number one outside linebacker. That's Adam Anderson out of Rome. Now they got their eyes set on the nation's number two outside backer, Quay Walker out of Crisp County, 6'4", 236. They're also chasing the nation's number five outside linebacker, Otis Reese out of Leesburg, Georgia. Bulldogs already signed the nation's number five inside backer. And, you know, they're calling it the Roquan position on the recruiting trail already. But then they also signed a five-star defensive end who will play outside backer at Georgia. And they also signed another U.S. Army All-American defensive end who will also be maybe in that jack position in Georgia's odd front. You look at it, there are a lot of incoming linebackers right now where maybe they might be a little different than the previous set. These guys might be more of those pass rush ninja guys instead of maybe that all-around run stopper.
Jeff, let's talk about what's going to happen with the competition at quarterback. Fromm takes you to a national championship, but we know that Justin comes in, Justin Fields, the number one, you know, dual threat quarterback in the country, right up here from Kennesaw, and he's coming in and he's saying he's not afraid of competition. Is that job going to realistically be open? How does Kirby handle that?
Yeah, guys, that's a really great question, and I think I have to try and make sure I play Georgia reporter bingo when I go through all this. You know, we're going to give me the free space here, but you also got to remember, you got to say one play away in that answer. You've also got to say iron sharpens iron in that answer. And you also got to get all those narratives. You got to mix all those in like some gumbo. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you this, the reason why Jacob Eason, you know, never returned to baby basically getting reps is because Jake Fromm never let that position go. Right. Now, that will be a very interesting challenge for Justin Field. Maybe he gets packages. Everybody brings up these things about red zones for Justin Fields because right. He is the nation's number one dual threat. He's about 6'3", 221, and runs a 4.5 on the laser. But you got to remember Georgia's track record. If you look at that, I think Georgia scored on every one of those possessions in the red zone except for two times in 2017. And, you know, Fromm knows his stuff. And I think it's just an example here where even if we would have saw the 2017 season play out without a Jacob Eason injury, I think Fromm was going to earn some of his time. He was going to earn his way to get on the field. And I think that's what Justin will have to do.
He'll have
to earn his way to get a package little by little. But the main thing, anybody that's got their big boys pants on and knows what college football is all about, that job is going to have to change hands on the field. That's going to be one guy not getting it done or stalled out and the other guy coming in and giving it a spark. A job like that, with any incumbent starter and the young freshman is going to have to change hands that way. And then we're not talking about a guy who led his team to an SEC title and a national championship berth in his first year. So that margin of error, that learning curve is going to have to be very good for Fields to get on the field.
And I don't think Georgia fans should be worrying about this, Jeff. You know, I mean, this is how Alabama did it. This is how they're able to go with that Tia Tunga Lavadabadatadamanama to, you know, after obviously Hurts wasn't working out. So, look, if you want to try to use him to your point, you know, like they used Tebow when Leak was there at Florida. But, again, you don't really need that because Jeff just laid it out. If you were listening, guys, how good Georgia's been in the red zone. Jeff Santel with us here from AJC. So, no big surprises then. Georgia, when all's said and done, by the time we wrap it up tomorrow night, Georgia will have the number one recruiting class.
I believe so, and I think they're going to stack up again on those linebackers. They've also got, you know, two guys that are already committed to the class that have been committed that did not sign during the early period, and that's where they're going to really shore up on the defensive line. Even as well as Georgia's been recruiting, now let's balance this thing out. The one areas where they still haven't got the guys are at wide receiver. Those guys are not likely to come in this class, but they do have already two five-stars committed for 2019. The other huge matchup where Georgia has to get a lot better, that speaks to five-star cornerback Tyson Campbell. He's 6'3", he's about 180 pounds, and he can run the 100 meters in about 10.4 seconds.
Woo!
Remember all those speedy receivers for Alabama that gashed the Bulldogs late in that game?
Uh-huh.
All those guys are going to be back except for Ridley. So Georgia, if they're eventually going to win those chess matches with Alabama in the Natties and in the SEC championship games, they're going to have to get that prototype NFL corner to shut down those big play receivers.
Jeff, I want to ask you real quick about something I read a while back in regards to Georgia, and it's a story I didn't get to bring up when we were talking about the national championship. But how's Kirby doing this? And I was reading that Greg McGarrity basically checked the box off and said, listen, do whatever you need to do, and there's a lot of extra support staff now in the football office that basically focuses on recruiting a la Alabama style. Can you attest to that? Is that true, and to what degree are we talking about?
All right, guys. This is going to make some people reel off 400 as they hear this, or maybe spit out their Starbucks on the way home. But I'm going to take you into the home of a modern recruit. When Mike Bell Jr. is being recruited, it's almost a norm for on your birthday, you're going to get about 20 birthday cards from each of the schools that are hotly pursuing you. You're going to get so much mail every week that your mailbox is going to cry uncle. It's going to come by the trays. And what it is now is there are these support staffs. They send out these cheerful cards that look like some of those posters that used to hang in the high school hallways around homecoming dances. Mm-hmm. And then during the big games on Friday nights, they pepper you with paper. They pepper you with edits. They pepper you with DMs. These are jobs now, a big job in an athletic department. If you can cook up a great-looking edit that looks like it belongs on a Nike ad or on Madison Avenue, you have a way to get in the athletic office of a big-time college football program.
Huh. By the way, Jeff, what's up with this club dog? The club that they were putting the money into at Sanford Stadium, is that thing finished now for the recruits and the players? Another part of the recruiting process, I guess, when you have them out there for official visits.
Yeah, it's going to be another $65 million that were earmarked towards Georgia recruiting. Now, the visual is going to be totally different. It's not done yet, mm-hmm. but eventually on the left side of the stadium, the bridge side of the stadium, they're going to have a recruiting plaza where they can look down by the Tate Center and see the dog walk. And get this, the locker rooms are now going to be over there on the West End Zone project, and the team itself will be able to run through a split in the stands from the West End Zone, and then the recruiting bleachers will be surrounded around that. So that's Georgia checking off a lot of things that they were lacking in the facilities race. They'll need a weight room. They'll need to improve coaches' offices. We're here that they're kind of elbow to elbow like a car dealer showroom about all the portable office spaces and the cubicles there. But as Georgia keeps winning, the money train and the money pots and that faucet is still going to be turned on full blast. But that's definitely accurate. I would say Georgia's probably upgraded its support staff by at least 30 or 40% under head coach Kirby Smart.
Yeah, and that's what I was alluding to is the money that you need for that. But these are independent jobs that are allowing the Dogs to get ahead of the game against a lot of these other schools in the competition, guys. That's a big deal when you start talking about how Kirby's doing this. That's how they're doing it. It's Dukes and Bell. We're talking with Jeff Santel. Jeff, what about the Florida Gators? They got a new coach in Dan Mullen. Looks like, at least it sounds like, he got his quarterback. Mm-hmm. We only bring this up because, you know, we feel like over the next 3 to 5 years, potentially, this is going to be – the East is going to belong to the Dogs. But you've got some coaches that are now in place, including Pruitt at Tennessee. They've got to get things going. What are you hearing about Florida's recruiting class?
Well, Florida's got a big target in mind. They got a 5-star offensive tackle, Nicholas Petit-Frere, who's the nation's number one tackle. And, again, you're not going to be highly rated in anything anymore unless you, like, shop in the big and tall section of the men's department stores. This guy's about 6'6". He's only 280 pounds. I mean, you almost have to be over 305 now to be recruited at some schools. Right. But Florida, the main thing they need to do if they're going to implement Mullen's system is they think they got a guy in Emory Jones who's a big dual-threat quarterback. They think they got a guy to do that. He enrolled early. But I think to me, and I know a lot of SEC fans that would probably feel the same way, Florida's never going to get really scary again until they have those lightning rods at receivers that can turn those 9 routes into the band playing after touchdown. Florida's got to get that passing game together if they want to return to maybe what the Mighty Gators everybody remembers from back in the day.
And then, Jeff, is Jeff Santel wrapping up talking about recruiting, again, National Saturday Part 2 tomorrow. Notice that Tennessee is kind of in the low 20s on a lot of rankings, and Clemson is at 12 in some of these. I mean, how is Dabo doing and how is Coach Pruitt doing his first year with the Vols?
Well, you know, that's a great point there, Mike, because, you know, Dabo has got facilities overload. He's getting, I think there's wiffle ball courts, there's a bowling alley, there's a slide where you can slide down from the top level of the complex down to the bottom level of the complex. But Clemson actually is recruiting at an optimum level, but it's just the way things they do differently there at Clemson. If you basically go to class, you're a good teammate, and you become a good locker room guy, progress towards your degree, you're going to stay a part of that program, even if you're not playing. And those Clemson coaches, when they talk to high school coaches about this, they say, if you can't play for us, that's not their problem, not the high school player's problem. It's on the coaches. That's the tax they pay for not making a good evaluation about whether or not you can play for Clemson. The reason why I'm giving you all those details is because that's why Clemson has all these five stars, but is mired around the top, you know, 10, top 15 in recruiting rankings.
Right.
Because they don't sign 25 guys every year. They only sign about 12 to 15 guys every year. They offer a lot fewer guys simply because at Clemson, if you progress towards your degree, you're not getting processed out by and large. And that's why those classes at Clemson are not highly rated than they are right now.
Gotcha. Jeff, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Great info, man. And by the way, where are you going to be posted up tomorrow? Where are you at? In Athens?
No, I'm going to be on the trail, man. Georgia's got a couple of big stories left to click off, and I will be right in the middle of one of those very big stories on Wednesday on National Signing Day. Quick thing, guys, probably squeal out of work before noon because six out of Georgia's top seven targets remaining in the class will all have their decisions made by 12:30.
Wow.
Okay.
So Jeff will be somewhere between Cairo and Hey Hira tomorrow.
Hey, man, we'll be looking forward to your stories. Check him out. Follow him on Twitter at Jeff Santel. That's Sentell. And Jeff, great job again, man. Look forward to hearing what goes down tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Happy signing day, everybody.
Yeah. Special time in a boy's life.
Man, he's excited, and dog fans should be too. I mean, this is how you get good and stay good for a long time.
I know a lot of people, we've talked about it, and some people were lukewarm about the ticket prices going up, but this is what you're getting, as you said. It's pretty impressive.
It is, man. Coming up, we're going to get more into our Falcons and Falcon Report coming up at 5. But a couple things Mike and I have been throwing around today. We'll get into what our owner had to say about our offense. If you've not heard, we'll tell you about it coming up. Justin Fields, the number one dual threat quarterback in the country. Is that job going to realistically be open? How does Kirby handle that?
Yeah, guys, that's a really great question.
We're going to tell you what Arthur Blank had to say about our offense in just a minute.
You're darn right, you will.
But we've got a little bit of a dilemma. Now, what's going on with Deshaun out there?
Just a little behind the curtain here during the commercial break. Deshaun, who does an amazing job, college basketball blogger, and really knows his stuff. You follow him at 92.9 The Game. He's also one working the cameras today for us at watch929thegame.com.
Get my good side.
He was talking to Sean the Underboss because he goes to all the Final Fours, and he was, he's a bit puzzled. He's like, how far is San Antonio from Houston? And then, you know, I don't know, Texas, you grew up there. So I'm like, I don't know, 3 hours? And then he asked another guy, and somebody goes, I don't know, 3 hours? And he's all incredulous about this drive. And then you walk in, and I'm like, well, that's Carl. He's from Texas. Carl's like, it's a three-hour drive. So now Deshaun's like, we're wondering, can we ship him? He only weighs about 80 pounds. Can we put him in a box, poke some holes in it, and just ship him UPS overnight?
And just put him in the truck?
Yeah, and then somebody else, he wears a diaper and we give him some combos or something to eat and we just put him on the truck.
Yeah, you'll be all right. I mean, you'll survive the journey.
Now, do you have to have the pressurization? Does he have to have oxygen?
Yes.
I think so, Mike.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah, I think he would. But you know what?
Put him in a parka.
You remember that kid? It was in Hawaii that jumped into the plane.
Jumped up on the landing gear, right?
Yeah. I mean, the kid survived. I don't think it'll be a big problem.
Well, the crazy part is that we can't let Mike check him in, though, because we know he doesn't get his bags. He doesn't check bags. So he may still be on the carousel for 3 days waiting to be picked up.
Hit the ground running, man. Hit the ground ready to fight. Okay, I'm not getting no man's checking no bags on my watch.
I check it back. If you drive from Houston to El Paso, that's from basically East Texas to West Texas, it's 11 hours.
Whoa, big state.
If you drive from Lubbock, Texas, which is in the panhandle, basically, to McAllen, Texas, which is what we call the valley, which is down heading towards Mexico, 10 hours.
Oof.
You're still in the state. So, yeah, I mean, if you're going to drive, and I've told you, that drive to El Paso, nothing's out there. And I think Craig's made that drive on 10. If you're going out west, if you're heading to Arizona or Cali, you get out there and it's literally, you see signs. This area is patrolled by helicopters. And you're like, what? There's nothing out there.
My cousin just got stationed in El Paso. So we drive from Atlanta to El Paso to drop his stuff off there. And I was like, man, if we break down out here, it's all bad.
You stop.
I mean, it's you, Coyotes, and the guys from Juarez.
Exactly.
Get all the Mexican radio stations start coming through.
On the Mexican, radio. But no, it's just funny because Deshaun, the Final Four will be here before you know it. We're in the heart of a tournament play. We were just saying, because we were watching the TV and they had the promo for Duke Carolina. Well, it ain't the Carolina of old.
It's not.
A crappy year for the Tar Heels this year.
Yeah, and I see that. And there are some scenes from classic Carolina-Duke battles. You know, Shea Battier. And I'm like, it's not that anymore. Listen, Duke. Kentucky's overrated this year. Duke can be beat, ironically. I mean, we've seen that already. There's no invincible team, Mike, where you go, this is the team to beat in this year's tournament. This thing's wide open.
We mentioned it earlier, Trae Young last night for Hawks fans that were trying to get a piece of what he may, you know, what you think this guy could be.
Hawks in
the
action
NBA.
Tonight, Mike.
You bet against the Grizzlies.
Yeah, Hawks fever.
Catch it! Plenty of great seats available. But Trae Young against West Virginia in their press last night. I mean, he took a while. He got 30. Only guy doing anything for the Sooners. But, yeah, you know, he's still a little guy, and that's one of the things we talked about earlier. He'll grow into his body. Bagley looks like he's ready to rock and roll. He'll only get better. But I think if you're 1, 2, or 3, you really can't go wrong with
no,
this guy.
No, listen, you're going to get a player that you can build around. You know, is there really a distinction between this year's number one overall and everybody else? I know that everybody loves the kid at Arizona.
Right.
But, you know, we talked to our guy in Memphis, Gary Parrish, and he was telling us, that he might be a little motor issue there.
Yeah. I mean, Ayton is a big dude, but is his Valentine in the right place? He was young. Now, you hope, but bad work habits as a teenager are not going to get better because you don't have time to be coached up in the NBA. Arthur knows this. He was around. There's not time for these coaches to work with you.
Well, matter of fact, Mike, and not only that, you're making a ton of money now. Why work harder?
Right.
I mean, some of these guys, they just shut down once they get the loot. Hey, by the way, you talking about Trae Young. Here's the circus shot that he hit for 30.
Kadeem blocked it. Brady ahead to Trae. Breakaway to the rim. Reverse layup is good. High off the backboard. How did that go in? And why was there no foul? He's got 30, and that was absurd.
Now, I want to say, and I'd have to look this up, AT, but he's got over 10 30-point games. I know he's got like 5 or 6 40-point games. Multiple 20-point games. He leads the league. He leads the NCAA in scoring. But the kid can flat-out play, man. He can flat-out put it in the hoop. And he's a playmaker. He's fun to watch. They lose last night to West Virginia,
right.
Which is what you were talking about with Huggy Bear and Bob Huggins.
They got to get Bob on a Stairmaster. I mean, just look, everybody out there could lose some LBs other than Deshaun, who weighs 75 pounds. But, and I mean, but Huggy, I'm watching this last night. I'm like, damn, he's getting circus fat. He's crossed over. I mean, that's hard fat that doesn't come back, man. You know what I'm talking about? We've all been there. Hold on. I mean, every now and again, we all get perilously close to that hard fat that there's no coming back from. You know what I'm talking about.
Circus fat, huh?
Bob Huggins is like a biscuit shy of circus fat.
No, he is. He is. There's no doubt about it. You're right, Mike. And I could have described it better myself.
I mean, I love it. And by the way, truth be told, Carl's, because you covered him and you did college basketball play-by-play.
No, he's that guy. The problem is, Huggy, and it's no secret, he used to. I can't speak to it now, but I would tell you 10 years, 15 years ago,
right.
He'd hang out, and he was drinking a lot, Mike, and he certainly wasn't watching his diet.
No, because we saw him. The only coach I've ever seen shotgun, you know, where you take a can opener, pop the beer, suck it down. He did that on the Riverwalk at San Antonio. I'm like, well, there's something you don't see every day.
And that Trae Young audio is brought to you by Oklahoma Radio Network. So
thank you.
If we don't give Popper credit, he loses $5 off his paycheck, does Craig. Also saw Huggy Bear and Larry Eustacey.
That's another guy.
They were the Toxic Twins.
That was
Arthur. Strip club in Memphis called Sheik's. No, Minnesota, I should say, in Minneapolis.
I was going to say, I'm not familiar with that one.
No, strip club.
There's not a lot to do with
strip club in Memphis was called Stretch Marks. Yeah. Anyway, back to you. I digress.
But I'll tell you another guy. Listen, we're just spreading rumors, but it's the truth. I've been with these guys. Billy Gillespie was another guy. Mm-hmm. Billy was single. Remember, he got the Kentucky job. It didn't last.
We're not gossiping. This is all common knowledge.
No, it's true.
In the world of sports, guys been after it.
Well, the thing you have to worry about with the coach is that, much like years ago when Rick Majerus was a little heavy and had gotten really large, everybody worried about his health.
You're right.
And so these coaches, they're highly volatile. They've got to be concerned.
Yeah, we're just looking out for the best interest of these guys.
Hey, by the way, years ago when the Final Four was here in 2000, Indiana won?
Yeah.
Or lost. It was Gary Williams in Maryland, beat Indiana. That was, you remember, who was the coach who took over for Bobby Knight?
Mike Evans.
Mike Evans?
Not Mike Evans. Mike.
Come on. You know this. You're your basketball guy. You
he's at Texas Southern now.
Mike Davis.
Mike Davis.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good guy, by the way. And he took Indiana back to the Final Four. They lose, and that was Gary Williams' only championship here. Rick Majerus, we're interviewing Rick Majerus at the World Congress Center as part of like the big March.
He was so cool.
So he's got to get to CNN for an interview. So our producer's walking him through, getting him the quickest way over to CNN Center. And, you know, Rick's back then was a big guy. He's up in heaven now. But Rick's kind of double timing it. And they're walking and he's got to get to CNN. He goes, whoa, they got a candy apple stand.
In the middle of this?
In the middle of this, Rick stops. He goes, hey, you want one? And he grabs like a big, I mean, the most disgusting sloppy. You can't eat those.
No.
And sure enough, by the time you get to CNN, he's got it all over his shirt. But anyway, that was Rick Majerus, man. Like to enjoy himself.
There is no way to eat a candy apple.
But of all things isn't. To pick up in a hurry.
All right, man. We'll tell you what Arthur Blank had to say. We promise. It's coming your way. But right now, you want a $50 gift card to proflowers.com? Mike and I have been telling you about it. Mm. We've given you the code. Use Dukes and Bell. You'll save money. But we're going to give caller number 5 right now, just for listening, a $50 gift card to proflowers.com. You will hook up your loved one. 404-741-0929. Caller 5 AT. And remember, you go to proflowers.com. Use our code Dukes and Bell and save money today.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly!
So apparently, I have been saying something wrong my entire life.
I know, me too.
We were just listening to our buddy Mike Conti, who's headed down to Phillips Arena. He'll have the pre, half, and post for you for the Hawks tonight. Steve Holman with the call. For the love of God! But Mike just told me, he goes, did you hear Conti? And I said, yeah, I heard him. And he said, did you hear what he said? And I said, yeah. He said, Fogo de Chao. I said, no, he didn't. He said,
Fogo de Chão, and I looked it up, and I said, because I've been going to Fogo de Chão up in Buckhead for years, and, you know, the Portuguese language is like, sometimes it even sounds Russian, sometimes it sounds Spanish. They got a lot of strange things going on. But apparently, Carl, it is pronounced Fogo de Chão. So if you're pronouncing it like my kid's sister, we're going to go to Fogo de Chão. You're saying it the wrong way. So that means campfire or fire on the ground, something Portuguese.
Okay, you know what? Bring me some more meat, okay?
Just put that green card. You know what?
Let's flip the card and just bring me some more meat, okay?
Let's call Bob Huggins and go hit Fogo de Chão and have the defibrillator ready.
All right, that's all I'm saying. By the way, we do love Fogo de Chão.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, I
Sales
always...
staff.
I do, I,
we
my,
love it.
My whole life.
We
I like eating. I like to try to pronounce things the right way. That's what drives me crazy when you get into National Signing Day and you see some kid's name and you're like, there's no way in hell I'm going to get that name right.
Yeah, but you know what? The only person that knows how to say his name right is his mama. So, I mean, let's be honest. Everybody's getting those names wrong. But we are just trying to pass along the information for you guys. Turn the card over, bring some more meat, and make sure you're saying it correct.
I wonder if that Georgia recruit, that defensive back from down there on Hayhira. Mitsubishi Jones. I wonder if they took him to Fogo de Chão. Anyway, guys, Falcon Report coming up at 5.
Real quick, I do want to mention this. AT mentioned this to me, so I'm passing it along. Malcolm Butler has put out a statement. How do guys put out statements in 2018?
Twitter?
Yeah. I want to thank Mr. Kraft, the Kraft family, my coaches for giving me an opportunity to play for one of the most successful organizations in sports. He's out. I also thank my teammates, and we've won a lot of games together. He goes on to talk about the 4 years there, and he's won conference championships or either a Super Bowl. He goes on to talk about the support staff. He is an unrestricted free agent, by the way, this offseason. At the end of this, he says, finally, I want to apologize to any offended by my language reported immediately after the game during a very emotional time, Mike. It was out of character for me and my heart. He goes on to say, and my character and heart, with God's help, is what got me where I am today. And I can't wait for 2018. For the season to get here, I will be ready. He's not going to be a Patriot, but he put out this statement basically apologizing for anything that he said after the game. As we know, he was crying on the sideline.
And the thing we were talking about earlier is, okay, we had a story from Ian Rappaport saying that there may not have been a marijuana involved in whatever was going down. He may have had a curfew break, but he did speak with the coaches and apparently got kind of heated. The only thing that you and I were saying is of all the things that Belichick wants is he wants control, and he wants obviously not to rock the boat. The idea that Eric Rowe finds out right before the national anthem that he's going to be the starter is kind of strange. That's just, I mean, it didn't seem like the Patriot way. They said that, according to some sources in Boston, that Malcolm Butler had a bad week of practice. He was sick, and they guess they just didn't have confidence in the last minute. Either way, not an elite defense by any stretch, and their secondary got torched in that game.
Yeah, the Rowe kid, and I saw this today. Again, you know, stuff comes out after the Super Bowl, a couple of days after, and apparently the Eagles assistants start talking to Doug Peterson in his ear, and they're going, Butler's not out there. He hadn't been out there for two series.
Right.
And they had wanted to attempt to go after the other corner because they thought Butler would be out there. And at that point, Mike, and go back, and I mean, if you wanted to watch the game, they start targeting Alshon Jeffries against Rowe. They started trying to take advantage of that matchup, but it was two series in before they realized, why isn't Butler out there? And the Philadelphia coach was like, I didn't get it. I had no idea, but we're like, yo, let's take advantage of this. And they started throwing Rowe's way, and they got torched. You saw how they played.
So it is one of those little wrinkles that, and it was funny, because you're talking with Craig, our engineer, producer, saying, you know, okay, a quarter? A half? I mean, you bail on the guy. And then we find out, you know, it was reported that he didn't take it very well. And who could? You know, one of your biggest games of your life. And Butler is responsible for the pickoff of Russell Wilson to win a Super Bowl for New England, you know, and they should have been running the ball. But, yeah, strange, very strange, and very unpatriot for that to kind of go down. Because you got a guy who's basically, not saying he's having an emotional breakdown, but the guy's choking up and he's crying on the sideline. Here's a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Look, we all saw the incident here at the college football playoff championship game.
Boom.
With the Alabama player who got into it with some people on the sidelines. We were all stunned that Alabama put the kid back in the ball game, but they did. Mm-hmm. They won the national championship, and they sent him packing 2 days later.
Mekhi Brown.
Right. So it's like, seriously, the Super Bowl?
I mean, Saban, all right, look, we're going to get you on some meds, but right now I just need you to play some football special teams. Go clothesline a bulldog, which he did.
He did.
Made a big play. And then I'm going to sayonara your butt once we get out of Atlanta. But, I mean, there's a time and a place, I guess, is the point we're getting
yeah,
to.
Yeah, and here's the deal. I mean, by benching him the way you did in that fashion, didn't that bring more attention to the situation? I mean, let's just you run him out there, even if he plays bad, which only Belichick and you know, Matt Patricia would have known. Under the circumstances of what kind of defenses they were running and coverages. But you run him out there, Mike, and then after the game, if you lose, this is still not the story. This has become the story for New England, and everybody now is trying to defend it. And as I said, I think I was more surprised by Patricia. Just goes to show you the loyalty
right
that he has to Coach Belichick by just same company line. You know, we decided that it was best for the guys that we had in there. And he's out. Now he's in, you know, with Detroit, and he doesn't have to answer those questions.
Interesting, though, because you could, I mean, yeah, he's not gonna give you anything but standard lines there. But, yeah, you're kind of messing up my defense, Coach. I mean, unless everything we're hearing about this, if you want to take the Ian Rappaport story, the most recent story out there as being the gospel, that he had a bad week of practice, and Belichick, whatever, just didn't have confidence in the guy. Well, it didn't work out either way.
A guy that won a Super Bowl for you, though?
That's what I'm saying. He's been in I mean, look, you Come could argue on. That this year he was inconsistent as much of their defense was – that's what drives – all right, not going to rehash last year. But we went up there, we should have done something, and we completely laid an egg against the Patriots in a game that should have meant something.
Yeah.
But if anything, remember the Julio – that's one of the three touchdowns where Julio goes, yeah, give me that ball.
Takes it away, yeah.
Yeah.
We still would have thrown it to Julio a little bit more. Just
yeah. Hey, we're not looking backwards. We are looking forward. And Arthur Blank tells
us. We are moving forward.
We are going to hear what Arthur Blank had to say, and there's more information now coming out. Interesting. Will Matt take a hometown discount? Would you? Would I? Would anybody in his car right now?
No. Well, you know, when we have these conversations, and it's funny because people all. Okay, I'm going to be rational right now. Okay, most times I'm not. People are always wanting professional athletes to take pay cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't Bill Gates taking a pay cut? Why isn't Jeff Bezos taking a pay cut?
Right.
No, I'm being serious.
Mark Wahlberg.
Why? That's the amazing thing to me is like, well, these guys should take. Why? Is anybody else? Why isn't Michael Dell taking a pay cut? You know, this whole notion that we have is, oh, well, how much money? And, Mike, we always joke about it. How much money do you need? Well, how much money are they printing?
Right.
I mean, let's be honest. Why isn't Oprah taking a pay cut? I mean, it is amazing to me when it comes to our professional athletes, we always just, well, even when I hated the fact that Al had to leave town, right? And we're talking about Al Horford. And he hit a game winner, by the way, the other night, AT. I just wanted to tell you, I think it's one of them, like, forever.
Oh, I noticed that.
Yeah.
I thought of you.
Okay. I hated Al leaving under the circumstances in which he left.
Right.
But I didn't hate on Al because he got more money. You know, he felt like it was a better situation for him. I know the Hawks could have paid him more, but they didn't offer him a max deal.
Right.
My point is, I'm never going to be that guy to just go, well, they should take a pay cut. Would I, as a fan, Mike, like to see my team competitive based on the fact that some guys cooperate? I leave that to the front office. If the front office overpays for certain guys, then we got a bad front office.
Right.
That's how I view this. I don't view this as, well, you know what? This guy needs to take a pay cut because nobody is taking pay cuts.
Guys, I don't care who you think Matt Ryan is? Because we don't even know. Let's be honest. We know that Matt is a good guy, does work with Children's Healthcare, like a lot of players do work in charities.
Yes.
We know Matt is buddies with Matthew Stafford. They like to play pickup basketball. We know he's got kids on the way, but we don't know much about Matt. And I just love the idea that you guys can read minds. Tom Condon, his agent, is going to go, yeah, you know, you don't need $100 million guaranteed. 90 sounds about right. No, it's not the way it works. Dude, if they doubled my salary right now, I'd be quoting scripture on the fish, Carl. It'd be adios, Dukes.
Man, you ain't telling me nothing. I already don't know. I don't get it. But we'll talk about it because for some reason, some of you feel like he should be the guy to take the hit.
And by the way, my radio name would be Deuteronomy Bell.
It's a good name.
My name is Giovanni. Come see me today at Fogo de Chão.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.